It is time. Second week of the month prayer meeting, but Owen led us through an incredible amount of encouraging verses. Warmed my heart. Encouraged me, got to the depths, and then when I got to worship, worship penetrated a little deeper. Just an encouraging morning all around. Encourage people to go to that prayer meeting. I think the Lord has blessed us together, and I've been blessed by all the different people that we've. That have led us to the Lord and to Scripture. But today is, well, first, Bible. If you want a Bible, raise your hand. Kevin serves me every week by making sure if there's a Bible, by placing a, whatever this is, music stand in front of me, by saying, do you need anything? He serves us by handing out Bibles to all who need them, and nobody asked him to do this. This is just Kevin going, I like the Bible, I want to make sure people have them, and we're appreciative of it. So, we are in Matthew 11, last week, but and we have a couple things going on. One is that we're in Matthew 11, but the other one is that it is Mother's Day. And we really like Mother's Day around here. And the reason we really like Mother's Day is because as time has gone on in America, there has been less and less value put on children and on women that are mothers, and that society isn't as glowing to those that educate or those that mother. And so we, as representatives of God, just want to make a big deal of Mother's Day because God has made something really, really beautiful in kids and mothers. And even right down to the specifics, like, when people talk about, oh, what's the greatest problem in the world or in the Western world? Well, it's the birth rate. We need more mothers. We need more children. And then people who decide that that is a valuable part of what they want to do, and that we would honor the people that put in that work. And not only honor, but just say thanks. And in this regard, the culture helps us. Mother's Day is a thing so that you can say thank you to mothers. Your mother, but all mothers. So we're going to talk about moms. And we're going to talk about Matthew 11. So when I think of moms, and when we think of the classic Mother's Day mom message thing, I think of busyness. I think of juggling a lot of things. I think of stress. I think of, like, a house in disorder and kids having lots of needs and dishes aren't done. And when I think, what does a mom need? I think of rest. A mom needs rest. But if the only time a mom can rest is when the house is picked up and the to-do list is done, then there's not a lot of rest. And maybe that's a rare thing. So I'm going to talk about rest this morning, and I have a picture to show you. Very awesome picture. Do we have it? Look at this guy. Okay. Can you make it out? Can you guys see it? Okay, Devin is... No. Would you be able to rest there? There might be some mentally incredible male that could rest here. But most of us couldn't rest here. And I give you this picture because real rest isn't physical, is it? It's inside. Somehow, mental, emotional, soul, spiritual, soul rest. The best rest is inside. And if you have soul rest, the outside can be busy and you can be active, but you can still have rest. You can still be at rest. Now, don't get me wrong, physical rest, you know, this guy's legs are probably tired, is important. And God rested on the seventh day, not because he needed to, but because he wanted to elevate the value of rest for us and give us a pattern of physical rest. And so physical rest is important. But today, I want to talk about inward rest. And it just so happens, Jesus talked about rest in Matthew 11. So we can, we don't need the picture anymore. And let us read in verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So in this chapter, we've seen Jesus talk about, there have been people that have kind of confronted Jesus. We've talked about how Jesus looked out there and he didn't see a lot of response. No one was responding to him. They just had excuses. But now Jesus is going to talk about those who do respond and what it means for them to respond. So when we talk about when Jesus says, come to me, I think he's talking about salvation. He's talking about decisions to follow him. He's talking about justification. But in the same way in which we come to Jesus, we walk in him. And so there is a rest that we day by day can walk in that Jesus wants to give us. So how I'm going to structure this is I'm just going to pick a word in these walkthroughs, the verses and some of the significant words in verses 28 to 30. And we'll just talk through some of these words. And our prayer is that the truth of these verses would help get inside of us and we would be encouraged to do what these verses are asking of us. And so we can't do that without the Holy Spirit, so let's pray here briefly. Father, how great thou art. Lord, and I think about What does that mean? To have a table set before us and to be in fellowship with you in the midst of our enemies, in the midst of a fight, in the midst of a battle, to be sitting at a table with you. Lord, that picture, Lord, that's what we want. So, Father, would you teach us with your Holy Spirit this morning? Father, would you grant us to come to you, and would you help us create the patterns in our life and our soul to live it with you? And so, Lord, we come with that ask. We come with that trust that you will teach us here. You will teach us here today and tomorrow and the next day. If that is your desire, and we want to walk as you would ask us. In Jesus' name, amen. So in verse 28, he says, come to me. So Jesus is inviting us to come. Now, the question I ask myself in my own soul, I'm going to ask you guys, which is, why don't we come? Right? So day to day, you're living life and you're just living life, but you're not really with God. You're just living life. And so why don't you come to God when you decide not to come in your own soul? And this was my answer, in one sense, for all of us. Maybe we don't come because of the deceitfulness of sin. We are deceived into thinking other things will satisfy me other than walking with God. Or we're deceived in thinking that we ourselves can do life, that I am capable of bringing good outside of God. Or sometimes we want to do something so that we can get approval. Or we want to do something so that we can be great. And so we want to do it even though we struggle on. All that is the deceitfulness of sin. Maybe there's things that we want that aren't Him, so we'll just leave Him out of it. And we need to hear, in the craziness of life, we need to hear the sweet, beautiful voice that says, come to me. And when we don't come, the analogy I have, and I always feel like is true, is that I'm just holding my breath. That we just hold our breath. Okay, I don't really need God, and so then I'm just living life, but I am doing it holding my breath. And life gets really hard because I am not pulling in the Spirit and God and the oxygen I need to live life. Well, then the next question I ask is, how do I come? How do I come? I can come by speaking to Him, or I can come by faith and trust. But William MacDonald kind of nails this. This is how he answers the question. To come means to believe. Acts 16:31. To receive. John 1:12. To eat. John 6:35. To come means to drink. John 7:37. To come means to look. Isaiah 45:22. To come means to confess. 1 John 4:2. To hear. John 5:24 and 25. To come means to enter a door. John 10:9. To come means to open a door. Revelation 3:20. To come means to touch the hem of His garment. Matthew 9, 20 and 21. And to come means to accept the gift of eternal life through Christ our Lord. Romans 6, 23. To open our soul to come can mean any one of those things. Well, let's go to the next word here. The next word I want to highlight is all. Come to me, all. And we have to go through the rest of the verses, though. All who are heavy laden. And so he's saying that all who are heavy laden can come, which means not everyone's invited. The only ones invited are the ones that are beat down, pressed down, weary, heavy laden. Those that have guilt, those that are crushed with sin, with griefs and burdens and vexations and worries. The strong. Doesn't seem here are invited. By the way, if you have kids, if your kids don't have needs, if they don't have weaknesses, if they don't have sins, they can't come to Jesus. So we spend a lot of time wishing our kids would be perfect. But we really need them to have needs so that they can come. See, God is opposed to the proud. We have to have needs. But he gives grace to the humble. It is not the well who need a doctor, but the sick. And so all the sick are invited. And here and now, let's move to the words weary and heavy laden. Oh, when I think, what does this mean? I just think of words like worn out, beat down, discouraged, emotionally fatigued. Heavy laden means not just that you have a burden, but you have too much of a burden. It's too heavy. You're overburdened. Spurgeon has some categories. He says you can be heavy laden because you're weary, vexed, disappointed, or despairing. Or you can be laden with sin, guilt, dread, remorse, fear of death. Or there can be a different category where you're laden with care and anxiety, greed, ambition. Or you can be laden with sorrow, poverty, oppression, and slander. Or lastly, laden with doubt, temptation, conflict, and inner faintness. And then Jesus says, I will give you rest. So Jesus is talking. Jesus, standing on earth, said, I will give you rest, because Jesus is the giver. Jesus is the giver. He gives. We're not figuring out how to do this. We're not figuring out our own soul. We're not taking classes and workshops. Jesus is saying, he's not saying, I will show you rest. He's saying he is rest. And we are not invited here to a doctrine. We're invited to a person. A deliverer, a savior, someone who's going to save and give, and someone who can give you something divine. To those who come, we taste something. When we come to Jesus in life, we taste something that's not natural on the earth. Thomas Brooks writes this. Come, says Christ, and I will give you rest. I will not show you rest, nor barely tell you of rest, but I will give you rest. I am faithfulness itself and cannot lie. I will give you rest. I, who have the greatest power to give it, the greatest will to give it, the greatest right to give it. Come, laden sinners, and I will give you rest. Rest is the most desirable good, the most suitable good, and to you, the greatest good. Come, says Christ. That is, believe in me, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace with God and peace with conscience. I will turn your storm into an everlasting calm. I will give you such rest that the world can neither give to you nor take away from you. It's a good word. Hebrews chapter 4. Turn there if you like. Just a couple verses here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. And I only read this verse for this thought. Jesus called it his rest. It's his, my rest. He said it twice in here. You're not going to enter my rest. It's his. The rest we get when we come to Jesus and the rest we enter is not this outside thing that he necessarily gives us. Is we enter into God. We enter into his rest, the rest that the Creator himself is enjoying. A rest that is peace and joy and strengthening and refreshing. And in every way, it is supernatural. It is of God because it is, in one sense, part of God, the rest he enjoys. And I like the thought that when we're entering into that, the who matters of the rest. And what I mean by that is Jesus is a person who sympathizes with weaknesses, who feels along with us, who is tempted just as we are. He's been rejected. He's familiar with sorrows. So when we enter into a rest, the who matters. Well, the next word here in Matthew 11 is take. That is not the book of Matthew. And take my yoke upon you. Beginning of verse 29. So the take here is to like pick up. So to get rest, you have to pick something up. Like you're pulling an anchor. That's kind of the word there. You're doing something. And what you have to take up is a yoke. And a yoke is a bar that goes over two animals that helps them pull together. It joins the animals together so that they pull together. So I'm going to say it like this. A connector which unites two to move or work as one. A yoke is a connector that unites two to move or work as one. Jesus will work with you as one. Or maybe the better way to say it is, you work with Jesus as one. I think both ways to say that are fine. But the picture is, you take up Jesus' yoke, you get in the yoke with Jesus, and that is the way to have rest. The key word is with. Just like the only thing that is giving rest is come to me. It is being with Jesus. But he doesn't say, come to me while I'm sitting on an island in a hammock. He says, come to me in a yoke. Take a yoke. What is Jesus asking? He's not asking us to work for him. He's not asking us to live life for him. He is asking us to work with him. He's asking us to live life with him. See, it's still work. Like, it's still hard. It's still tiring. But it's not wearying in the soul. It's like you're working with him as a bride. We are a bride, and he's the bridegroom, and he's so happy to be with his bride in a yoke, doing something. And I can be like, wow, I want to be in a yoke with Jesus, because anywhere Jesus is, I want to be. But then I think, you know, a yoke, you put on a yoke, the animal puts on the yoke, and then you put a yoke on an animal, excuse me, to control them. I cease control when I get under a yoke. I'm being driven, in one sense, by God the Father. Too good. He is leading me towards spiritual work. But it's not my hand anymore. And I need to recognize that as I decide to take up a yoke and be in a yoke with Jesus. The next word here is learn. Learn from me. If you're connected to Jesus, you will be learning. If you take up a yoke and you're connected to Jesus and you're walking through life, you will be learning. You will always be learning. And so we have to make the choice to allow that, to walk with that, to do that, to make the choice to be learning. Spiritually learning how Jesus wants us to walk. And then he says, okay, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Gentle and lowly, humble. The word there kind of means close to the ground. And here's my thought here. I think it means that Jesus is willing to be in the day-to-day with you and with me. And sometimes, I don't know if you struggle with faith here, but I can struggle with faith here. God, do you really care about whether this food comes out on time? Like, all the stuff is done at the same time? Or if this corner of the house is clean? Or do you really care about this, like, my parking spot? Or these little things? When we're doing things that don't seem, they're just small, they don't really seem to matter, they don't seem great, putting my shoes on my four-year-old. But I think what it means is, I am gentle and humble, I am lowly, is he's willing to live the day-to-day with you. He's willing to live the details, He's willing to live in the secondary roles and the servant's roles. And he is willing because he's gentle and lowly and humble and will live with me down where I live. And then rest. I tell you something you already know. The more you trust, the more rest you have. The more belief you have, the more rest you have. There's a book that blessed many people around here. Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. And here's a blurb. Day and night, this was his secret, quote, just to roll the burden on the Lord. Frequently, those who were wakeful in the little house at Ching Kang might hear at 2 or 3 in the morning the soft refrain of Mr. Taylor's favorite hymn. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art, sung by Steve Green. He had learned that for him, only one life was possible, just that blessed life of resting and rejoicing in the Lord under all circumstances, while Jesus dealt with the difficulties inward and outward, great and small. It's a good summary. Now, I want you guys to finish the message for me. And this, how we're going to do this is, what are all the connections we can go from here? What are the verses? What are the connections? What comes to mind as far as scriptures? And I want you to speak the connections or read the scripture. And let's just be encouraged. If this is a starting place, where we go? Can we do that for a few minutes? Yes. Did everybody hear that? Awesome. Good one. I left that Steve Green part in, partly for you. Scott. Yeah. a table in the presence of my enemies. Good connection, great verse, Timo. Maddie. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Daniel. Amen. I cut that verse from my sermon. Yes. Ooh, that's a good verse. How about the last one? We have to finish. Let's pray. Lord, Lord, you asked us to cast our burden on you. Lord, you, God, some of us may need to do that. Lord, you asked us to, Lord, be like Mary and not Martha and sit at your feet rather than being worried and distressed about many things. Lord, you asked us to be grateful and God, take joy in our trials and be grateful, God, in every circumstance. Lord, there are lots of specifics, Lord, we could walk in for what you have for each of our souls. But Lord, we started this to trust you, that you would walk us there. And Lord, here, teach us, walk us there, show, God, show us how to walk more and more with you in life, God, and therefore experience the rest, God, that you give. I pray that we would experience your rest. And today, Lord, especially, Lord, we ask that you would grant that rest to all the mothers. God, that they be able to walk, God, motherhood in rest. God, and how a mother at rest, God, it just changed the world. Would you believe that? Thank you for our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen. Sean.